Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our midweek contemplative worship service. I thank you for your presence here tonight. And for those of you in the room, we send love to you who are watching online, wherever you might be and whenever you might watch this service. Following our service tonight, we have for the next three Wednesdays, and four including tonight, wonderful class offering hosted by Jill, our program director, and conversations with Tim and Barbara Cook, the co-founders of this church community. So if you're wishing to stay on after the service, you can just stay on the watch page to participate if you're online. Tonight we'll hear a beautiful passage of scripture which speaks about Jesus' struggle to bring about change and to be an evolver to the spiritual tradition of Judaism, which raises a question for each of us in terms of our own evolution and growth and dealing with the struggle we have to keep growing versus remaining and static and not growing. So let's take a moment in the silence to wish for inner spiritual growth for our lives, for our community, and for this world, tired and weary as it is, that it would be open to new beginning and new ideas. And so we begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
There's a beautiful valley in Germany near the French border called the Mosel River Valley. It's so famous for growing the white Riesling grapes for the Riesling wine. And there are enchanting, romantic villages along this picturesque, beautiful valley. I happen to have been born in the valley in a little village called Traubach, it's two towns connected by a bridge across the Mosel River. And I was totally delighted to discover that about 10 miles south of the river, maybe even closer, is a little village called Berncastel Kues, which is actually where my mother was staying at a hotel when she went into labor with me on July 23rd in the early morning hours. But that's not what really excited me. What excited me was discovering that in Berncastle Q's, a mystic of the highest order, one you've probably never heard of or read, perhaps, because he's not very well known, born, raised, educated, and went on to extraordinary influence in the Christian Church, the Roman Catholic Church. He became a cardinal. And he wrote extraordinary, majestic, wise theology that endures to this day and that has impacted many, many people. His name was Nicholas Cusa, Nicholas of Cusa, of Berncastle Cues on the Mosel River. Now, Nicholas of Cusa is famous among mystics for saying something that hadn't really been said so clearly. He said that God is pure possibility. That God is pure possibility. Not just being. Not just isness. But isness that can become something even more. Not just static being. It's a very important distinction. But becoming. Being that is becoming. Who do you know in the 20th century took up Nicholas of Cusa's mantle and philosophical and mystical perspective? None other than Pierre Théodore de Chardin. And he's now much more famous than Nicholas of Cusa. Also, a group of people known as the process theologians, all of who in modern terms said that God is becoming and that we can't rein in or contain God, that we don't even know what is possible, because God is pure possibility. And why do I start here? Because I think it's important for us to think theologically and spiritually about what God is, and to recognize that Jesus had a difficult time, had a very difficult time entering into a set, established legal spiritual system named Judaism that followed a very specific set of legal codes that are known in the scriptures, as Mary Leah called, as the law and the prophets. There's one other thing that was left out for there, and that is the writings, the historical writings, and the other things like the Book of Psalms. Three sections that make up the Jewish holy books: the law, the prophets, and the writings. Jesus had a hard time coming into that system, which had essentially said, this is the word of God, done. Do not try and change it. Just try and obey it. Fulfill its laws. Of course, it was impossible to fulfill the law of Moses. It was impossible for anyone to fulfill the Jewish laws that the rabbis added to the sacred scriptures. There weren't that many laws in the Old Testament, but the Jewish commentators and rabbis added hundreds and hundreds more on top. The point is that no one could fulfill any of those laws. So when Jesus begins his first and most profound sermon, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, a portion of which we just heard read from Matthew chapter 5. He had the hard task of saying new things, but also not disenfranchising the community to whom he was preaching and to speaking they absolutely were committed to their holy teachings and their writings and the law. He didn't want to get thrown out right off the bat. So he had to say this statement, and I think it's really useful for us to recognize this truth. He had to say this statement: I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come to fulfill them. And to ponder these words, what this means, is very, very useful. The word for abolish is more akin to what would happen when you unhook your horse from a cart. You literally unpaired the horse from the cart. I have not come here to unpair you from your Bluetooth device. I have come here to make that connection more strong, deep, and enduring. I have come here to complete that connection that began and fulfill that connection. On a legal sense, in a way that you can't, and also to then mature it, to take it beyond, to complete it, to take it beyond what it is at its current level. And so we come up with this phrase to, it's, you can hear it in the Eucharistic prayer, and you can hear it in the teachings of Ken Wilber and Thomas Keating, who adopted Ken Wilber's ideas. We transcend the old, but include it. We include the old or the prior, but we transcend it. We both hold onto and move beyond. And this is the invitation to growth that I was talking about, that all of us can get so attached to our spiritual practices and our spiritual ways of thinking and feeling and doing, even our most evolved ways of thinking and feeling and doing, we can become attached as if that is it. And the invitation is always to remind ourselves, we are paired, but we are open. Why? Because God is becoming. And if God is becoming, that means if we want to be with God, we need to be people on the move. People who also are becoming, not just being. And this is the beautiful insight of this theological tradition, that God is alive and active and moving. If you look at the mark, Tim once told me that the mark is designed as it is. It's like a Japanese brush stroke. But he said, look at the circle. It's open. It's an immovement. And it's a beautiful reminder that everything that is living is moving. And when we are not moving, we move into entropy. And when we move into entropy, we move toward death. Spiritual life is being united to the God who is and who is becoming more and more and more and more. So in that sense, God is never the same. God is always becoming. And when we're in relationship to that divine center that is unfolding and moving and becoming, we are participants in God's movement in the world. And this becomes a bit of a challenge for all of us to look at our lives and say, where have I grown stagnant? Where have I defined the limits to which I say to God, even without even knowing it, this is where I have come to and no farther. This is what I will give you and no more. This is where I'm comfortable and what works for me, nothing more. Thank you very much. And God's word comes to us like Jesus did to the Jewish people and say, will you believe me now? Can you let go of your certainty? Can you let go of your comfort? Can you let go of your sense of control because you have this system? And can you become more? Can you be with me and go on the journey with me to a place I do not know where it will go? They must have been utterly confused and confounded because those disciples committed everything to the hope that Jesus was the Messiah. And the way it ended, the way it went down, they looked like they had lost everything. They bet on the wrong guy. But then, the becoming God does something unexpected. Being isn't all that there is. There's more than being. There's becoming, and that's what the resurrection is. It's a glimpse of the future becoming of humanity. Becoming, becoming, becoming. So it's a beautiful thing to just be encouraged by this and keep growing and going and becoming. And it looks like, you know, death is the end of becoming, but it really is just another phase shift to a whole other way of becoming something more beyond this physical body, beyond this physical self. And it's a new way of being and a new way of becoming that we enter into the destiny of God. So these are beautiful truths to ponder and think about for our lives, especially as you might feel a certain ease, a certain reluctance to invest more, to keep growing, a certain sense of, I've done my part. But the invitation is to keep growing and going and see where God might take each of us on our journeys. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence before our centering prayer, to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to each of us in the quietness of our heart. Amen.
And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes of centering prayer.
Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Misericordia. living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for your presence here tonight in worship. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, the power, and presence of the Holy Spirit is with each of us in our being and becoming. Amen.